Another good lesson for you today. If you got your books, open your book up to delegate authority should not err. Delegate authority should not err. I don't know what page and chapter it's on, but I'm sure you know how to find it. Okay. So here's what I'm gonna do. We're still coming out of the lesson in Numbers 20, dealing with the error that Moses and Aaron made concerning the rock at Meribah. But I backed up a few statements in the other segment that we talked about because it connects. And I just want to keep the same thought going. But if you can search, you may find exactly where I'm coming from. But I got about three or four statements I got to make prior to going to the session on delegate authority should not error. Statement number one: nothing is more serious nor regarded more severely than for a delegate authority to do wrong with. And you know, if you contemplate on this statement here, do wrongly doesn't just imply striking a rock instead of speaking to it like God said. But there are so many errors as human beings that we can make toward God and do wrongly before God. Speak wrongly, do wrongly, think wrongly. We can err in so many ways. So what am I implying, Claire? I'm implying that we have to be careful about our spiritual walk with God concerning authority, if we're in authority, or believing that God gonna put us in positions of authority. You have to understand that how serious the matter is to be in authority and how accountable God holds those that he places, knows what I said, those that he places in authority. And there's always accountability. And that's why we're under this apostolic ministry that we have, because God is constantly showing us so much concerning ministry through our apostle and through the instructors in this school and through whatever leaders that God had before you. Statement number two: every time we execute authority, we must ask to be united with God. Now that statement takes a little bit of explaining. Every time we execute authority, see, there's a time where if you're in authority, you have to execute an order or a command from God, maybe to make some disciplinary action or to just do what he wants you to do concerning one of his plans. So every time we're about to execute it, we must ask to be united with God. What does that mean, act to be united with God? Become one with God and find out what his will is concerning the situation and making sure that our heart and mind is in line with God's heart and mind. What are you saying, instructor? I'm saying Moses' heart and mind was not aligned with God's heart and mind at that particular time when he smote the rock. Moses functioned on his own feelings, on his own emotion, and he never separated his feeling and emotion from God before the people. And so when he went to execute for God, they did not see God. They saw Moses' anger, Moses' feelings toward them. And as far as Moses was concerned, they were rebels. And God didn't see him like that at that particular time. So before we execute any kind of authority, We must be united with God. Spend enough time with God to be lined up with his action, to be lined up with his motive. You don't have to know everything, but to be lined up with his character. Say, Lord, how you want me to handle this? Lord, what's your will concerning this? Instead of just assuming God wants you to do certain things. And so at that time, Moses was under assumption that his attitude was right toward the people, and his attitude was not correct at all. So your attitude must be in line with God's attitude toward his execution of any assignment that he gives. Number three, if a mistake is made, and we do error, we do function in wrong attitudes sometimes, we do things without God's mind sometimes, but if a mistake is made, let us swiftly separate it from God, lest we incur his judgment. Now, class, I'm taking my time because these matters are so serious that you have to understand that when we do error, when we do make a mistake, make sure we let the people know that this is my human side. And so they don't see God in your action. What am I saying again? You don't allow yourself to give a wrong impression of God. I finally got it out right, Glad. You don't want to give a wrong impression how God want to deal with something. So you have to be mindful, you have to be slow, you have to take your time, you see. And so James said, be slow to speak. Be slow to anger or wrath, you see. So in other words, get God's understanding first. Get God's wisdom first before you speak in any manner. God do not want to be misrepresented. Write that statement down and burn that statement in your heart, Claire. God do not want to be misrepresented. Just like you don't want to be misrepresented. You don't want someone to give a false impression of who you are. And you have to come back and say, look, that wasn't me. That wasn't my feeling toward that. No, God is more so in his sovereignty had to be represented rightly. Before we decide anything, let us seek to know his mind or his will. We're still along the same line. As an authority about to execute something for God, whether it's an assignment or whether it's judgment. Sometimes God wants you to execute a judgment for him. Sometimes God wants you to bless the people in a particular way. But just find out how God wants to do it. So, what did I say, Claire? Before we decide anything, let us seek to know his mind or his will. Only after ascertaining his mind, may we do it in his name. Only after ascertaining God's mind do we do it in his name. That's a very important statement because we just can't function erroneously and then claim to be in his name. Now, let me read the next statement and then you're going to understand exactly what I'm talking about. Let us not be foolish, but let us learn to fear and tremble before God. Do not render judgment carelessly. Rather, control your spirit and your mouth, especially at the time of provocation. Now, let me emphasize on this statement a little bit. When you are angry, make sure that not your anger and not displaying God's anger. Because as human beings, you get angry about some things. Especially if you're in a position of authority, sometimes people say things to upset you. Sometimes you're provoked by the people. Many times Moses was provoked by the people, and it causes anger to be aroused. But what I'm saying, Claire, is that make sure that you have control of your emotion. Control, I'm saying the same thing many times, control of your tongue, and make sure your behavior is lining with God's behavior. The more one knows God, the less he is careless. I'm saying some profound statement, that's why I'm taking my time. The more one knows God, the less he is careless. And that's why God took special time with Moses getting to know him. Moses was 40 years on the backside of the mountain. Didn't know it, but he was learning God. God was teaching him his ways. And God was showing him his character and his nature. God was maturing him. And many times, the Lord told me, preparation time is never wasted time. Because God is putting some things in you, even you don't know they're going in you sometimes. But he's preparing your character. He's preparing changing your ways and you changing your thinking about things and you allow you to go through tests to see how you respond. and I got this thought just come, you know, sometimes, you know, marriage, before people get in marriage, I would tell them when Apostle had me doing some counseling, premarital counseling, I would tell them, make sure the courtship at least go full circle. Sometimes people marry too fast and they don't see the full circle. What full circle I'm talking about? Seeing their anger side, seeing what button to push to arouse certain emotion, seeing the full side of a person, well, at least much as you can. So you know how they react and they respond. Some people, after they get married, they find out what in the world I got myself into because they didn't see enough of that person to know if that's the kind of relationship I want to be in. And so sometimes God allows us to be tested, to see what's in our heart. The children of Israel went around in the wilderness for 40 years. God said to test them, to prove them, to see what's in their heart. So sometimes God allows you to go through some testing, some proving, to see if this person is capable of being an authority for me. Are you with me, Clyde? Are you with me? So, the more one knows God, the less he is careless. And I'm going to put this statement in, the more God knows you. You see, well, see, I thought God knows. I thought God know everything about me. You know, God knows everything, but some things just choose not to know. He sometimes just let us run our course. He choose not to know. He got more faith in us than we got in ourselves sometimes. And so I'm now moving over to the next segment, that delegate authority should not err. So catch up with me now. For our service to be approved by God, we must not serve with our own strength, but serve on resurrection ground. What I say, Claire? For our service to be approved by God, we must not serve with our own strength, but serve on resurrected ground. Now, what does this resurrection ground mean? When God is having us in the process to serve him, there has to be a process of him allowing us to go through a dying process. And through the dying process comes a resurrection process. So one definition, you might want to write this down. One definition of resurrection is that which passes through death and still live. Remember I said that. Resurrection, that which passes through death and survive. That thing which survived death is resurrection. You see, Jesus is I am the resurrection, because he passed through death and he survived and he's still alive. Everything that's of God always survived. Oh, Jesus. It's coming out. Everything that's of God always survived resurrection. And if it's not of God, Claire, it stays within the grave. That's when you crucify certain things. You want to stay in the grave. You don't want things that are not of God to resurrect. So I'm going to read this statement again, and you catch it with that thought in mind. For our service to be approved by God, we must not serve with our own strength. See, your own strength is the part in ministry that has to go through death and resurrection. And you don't want to permit your own strength to resurrect, because your own might, your own strength, puts you in opposition with God. It opposes God. Your own strength, your own will, your own wisdom, your own ideas. You don't want those things to resurrect. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. In other words, he said, even though I live, yet do I live, yet not I. In other words, the part that was supposed to die, died. And the part that's supposed to live, which is of God, survived death. And it comes out in resurrection. And that God said, that's the part I want to use. I want to use the resurrected part of you. I want to use the part of you that want to function on my strength, function in my will, function in my love, function in my wisdom, and everything else that is of God. My patience, function in my meekness. You see, because every time God gives something, Satan tries to counterfeit it. There's a worldly meekness and there's a godly meekness. That's, you see, everything God has, Satan tried to duplicate it. There's a worldly love and there's a godly love. You see, I can go on and on. I can go through all the fruits of the Spirit and you can find a duplicate. There's a worldly kindness, but there's a godly kindness. You see, it's, I can go on and on. I can go on and on. But that was, it's resurrected. That's the part God wants to use in you. You see it? And so Satan don't want you to die of a certain thing. Satan wants you to function in your own strength. When you're serving God. Now, service should not be in our own strength, but everything should be in resurrected, on resurrected ground. Now, that's the point I want to carry out through this whole lesson, functioning on resurrected ground. Ministry should be functioned on resurrected ground, not in your own strength, not in your own ability, not even in your own calling. Not even in your own ministry. I'm saying that because there's something a little bit further we're going to talk about, your own calling and your own ministry. You see it? Because we're going to find out that ministry is God's choice, not man's choice. You see it? And so sometimes it's so easy to make ministry your choice, and it's not God's choice, and so there is no functioning anointing for it. You see, there's no sprouted rod. We're going to explain that a little bit more, because Aaron's rod sprouted and the other 11 rods of the other tribe did not sprout. And we're going to explain that as we go along, as we go, because we're going to find out that this lesson is a very important lesson when it comes to ministry, and it comes even to serving your spiritual leader. That you can't serve without being on resurrected ground. That which needs to be remain, that which needs to remain dead, is not able to pass through death and the cross and live. Some things in your life that need to be crucified, need to be remain in the grave, and the problem most of the time within the church, if they are functioning in an uncrucified soul. Remember I said that. They're functioning with an uncrucified mind. Uncrucified thoughts. You see it? Uncrucified ideas. The flesh has to be crucified. The flesh and man ways and wisdom must be put to death. What I say? The flesh must be crucified. The flesh and man's ways, all the ways of man, all the ways of man, or everything that are not of God, is the ways of man, must be crucified. Now, we talk about crucified, we talk about stripping. See, there has to be some stripping that go on in people's lives to serve in ministry, and most people don't want to strip. People try to find scriptures to hold on to these things. One man told me, he said, the Bible don't say anything about drinking. Just say don't get drunk. Don't be gluttonous. The Bible don't say anything about smoking. They're trying to find reason to not to strip certain things. But I tell you what, our bodies don't belong to us. And Scripture says we've been bought with a price. You see it? And so if it don't belong to us, then we just can't do anything we want to it. The Holy Ghost tells us what to strip, and what part of us needs to die. If you listen to the Holy Ghost, and not your flesh, you'll be constantly in the stripping process. Listen to this statement, Claire. We ourselves have no. I got capital N and a capital O in my notes here. We have no authority. Remember that. We in ourselves, class, have zero authority when it comes down to the work of God. Zero. The only authority that we encompass in this life as spiritual is that what God allows us to have. And so we have no rights to do or say what we want to say. Jesus said, I want to say what I hear my Father say. You see it? So our job should be, we should only say what we hear our Father say, or what the Holy Ghost say, or what Jesus say. We are only representing authority. We in ourselves have no authority, Claire. We are only representing authority. Oh, when the church learns that, everything they do will be in fear and trembling, because they stand before a supreme God, carrying out supreme instruction, carrying out every word that they hear God speak. And sometimes that's why I'm taking my time, because even as instructors, we can't say everything we want to say. Sometimes thoughts come up, and then these thoughts of words have to be filtered before we even make a response out of our mouth. And because that's the part that God wants, that we're going to find out that we should never exceed our ministry. Now, that's another lesson in itself. We're going to try to get to it. Might be, if not in this class, it'll be in the next week's class, not to exceed our ministry. We're going to find out this spiritual authority is more than just submitting to God. It has a lot of details, things that people just overlook and think is all right to do. No, it's a stripping of oneself, okay? The flesh has no place. We only cause problem if we do anything according to our own strength. Listen to that, Claire. The church is not only afraid of there being no authority, it is also afraid of the wrong authority. Now, Claire, what is the wrong authority? Authority that have not been ordained by God. You see it? You see it? All authority must be ordained by God. And you can have the wrong authority. God has one thought, and that is to establish his own authority. God's purpose upon the earth cannot be fulfilled until he establishes his authority within. Now, let me explain that statement. I'm going to have to read it again so you can catch it. Excuse me. God has one thought, and that is to establish his own authority. You see, there's a scripture talk about having a form of godliness. And going back to establish their own righteousness. Well, your own righteousness is a righteousness that is separate from God's righteousness. That's your own ways of serving and pleasing God. Well, same thing there is with authority. Just like there's God's authority, that's also man's authority. And man's authority, which is flesh rule, don't always line up with God's authority. It's two different authorities. And so before you can have authority without, there must be authority within. Now, the authority within is when God creates the ministry and the authority within you. It's going to get more clear as we go on, Claire. Take the time to allow God to reveal himself to you. I got that note. Take the time to allow God to reveal himself to you. I'm talking along the line of ministry. I'm talking along the line of calling. You see? Because I find out sometimes, Claire, it's a dangerous thing to walk outside the will of God and to establish your own ministry. Sometimes people walking in ministry that God has not called them in. And that's the whole point of this lesson. You know, a lot of people, sometimes they think they're called to the fivefold ministry. I think sometimes, most of the time, they're called into the ministry of help. And they thank God for the fivefold ministry. But as also a ministry of help, I call it the hidden ministry. What do you mean the hidden ministry? I call it a hidden ministry because this ministry of help has to be revealed. Paul said in Philippians, he was writing to Timothy, he said, I have no man like-minded. He said, for all seek their own. What own? Their own thing, their own ministry, their own work. They want to establish their own work. He said, and not the thing which of God. Sometimes God calls to help the vision. Sometimes God calls us to assist the vision and not to create your own vision. I found out that you can't have two visions because there'll be division. You see it? There has to be one pastor, one leader in the church. And everybody else should be in the service mode, serving spiritual leader. You know, people don't realize just because you call to the fivefold ministry, I'm stepping out now, that don't mean that God don't want you to just serve within the ministry. I'm speaking from experience, Claire. I'm speaking from almost 40 years experience. That's why I'm taking my time so much. Because these grounds I'm talking about is kind of shaking because sometimes people don't like to hear what I'm about to say. But sometimes, Claire, God called you to serve your spiritual leader. You know, God did call me. And I know he did call me. But he didn't call me out. He called me within. Not with my vision. Apostle had us to read the vision that God gave him many years ago. Changing the life of people with the word of God. With the first vision God gave him. The other vision he gave him, training the body of Christ to evangelize the world. I got it. Equipping the body of Christ to evangelize the world. And then the last one is, God has made us covenant winners. Now, a vision of that size can't be done with just one person. And so there has to be people that God called within the vision to assist the vision and to become part of the vision, serving under the vision and under the authority. Class, I'm taking my time because I'm trying to get something over here. So When God called me here, years ago, almost 40 years ago, I mean, in a ministerial aspect, those 40 years that I've been serving my spiritual leader, those 40 years was not preparation time to be sent. Because some people, they get trained and they want to be sent out. But those 40 years, God been preparing me to be a better servant, to assist better in the work of this vision, to become a help. You see, and this is what people don't understand. The fivefold ministry class is such a great ministry, and also the help ministry is such a multi-dimensional ministry that people don't never come to understanding of it. But over the years, Glad, this class is a little bit different. But over the years, Glad, over the years, I've come to understand that even though I may be called into the fivefold ministry, it's called to assist in the help ministry. So I consider myself in the help ministry. Yeah, maybe in one of the fivefold ministry gifts, a teacher, instructor, wherever you might want to label it as. I never label myself as anything. But at the same time, I'm able to do whatever needs to be done because I'm going to use a word that might be in one of the other lessons. I never consider myself, what's that word I need to use? Never consider myself in a position where I can't do just about anything. You name it, I've done it. Never made a difference to me. It didn't matter. Never had any face to save. Because I know I was doing what God called me to do. Once you get a hold of this, the stress get off for you. The striving. Some people are striving in ministry. And they wonder why they're never arriving to what they believe God had called them to. Because you might be sitting right smack in the middle of your calling right now and you're looking for somewhere else to go. I hope I'm saying something, Claire. I hope I'm trying to get my point across to the class. Sometimes you're better a servant than a server. You see it? And so, class, I can't go much further. But let me read this last statement here for this class. There are two difficulties in the church. The lack of absolute submission and the presence of wrong authority. Wrong authority is that which has not come from resurrection. Make sure your rod has budded. Make sure your rod has budded. And that's, I don't want to leave you like that, but I got to finish you next week. I'm going to take up right here because that's the most thing I want to say about make sure your rod has budded and it has something to do with what I've been trying to say this whole 40 minutes, Glad. I've been going, seem like going in little circles, but we're going to get it out in this next session. I'll talk to you next week. Mm-hmm.